morning, brother. Good morning to the brother on the web hook up. We're having a beautiful Sabbath morning. Brethren, we recently heard in a sermon from Mr. Wendt about Passover and why we must keep it on the proper night and time, how we must keep it, and how it is a very solemn service that helps reconcile us back to God. Today, brethren, I want to point out some places in our Bible where the night to be much observed is written about, and how we are to observe it and keep it. Because the night to be much observed is the commanding part of the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. The real importance of this night is it is the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. All of our leavening is supposed to be cleaned out of our homes or vehicles and other areas. But that is not all this is commanded for on this night, brethren. We know that we are to meet with family and brethren and eat a meal together in fellowship and talk about this night and our great Creator God and how He planned everything out for the deliverance of the children of Israel and for our deliverance too, brethren. Why, brethren? Why? Why is this holy day night so special that we are to meet together as we begin the holy day of the feast, first day of unleavened bread? We don't do this for any other holy days, do we? Like trumpets or Pentecost? Because, brethren, it's not commanded for us to do this in our Bible. We should be able to clearly understand why this night is set aside for such a special dinner and a night of fellowship. And we should understand how we should keep it and observe it, and what our Bible says about this very important night. We can begin reading about the night to be much observed, where the instructions for this night are written for us in Exodus. Come with me to Exodus 12, please. Exodus 12. If anyone is confused about the Passover and the night to be much observed, they might want to read this entire chapter here in Exodus 12. It does explain it very good. Because these two special nights are connected here in Exodus 12 throughout our Bible. We cannot lose sight of the fact that these two special nights are different, distinct events and are to be observed and kept by God's people. The first night, Passover, is about a redemption from sin and death. And the second night, the night to be much observed, represents our deliverance from the bondage of sin. They are bound together in the spring holiday season, yet they are very different and have different separate meanings. During this night to be much observed, brethren, we are to be focused on God and how He delivered the Israelites from their bondage. Because this night also helps us prepare to be delivered from our physical and spiritual bondage of sin today. Let's take some time and see how this night has a great deal of importance for each one of us as first fruits in God's plan of salvation for all human beings and how we are to observe it and conduct ourselves. The title of my sermon today is, Are We Ready to Keep the Night to Be Much Observed? Are we ready to keep the night to be much observed? Brethren, we've come very far in our Christian lives. We have learned about God's way, His Sabbath, His holy days, including the Passover and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Brother, we can't turn back now. We must complete our journey and see it through to the wonderful world tomorrow. So as we begin our journey into this spring holiday season, let's look at how we are to celebrate and show respect for the night to be much observed. But first, let's go back in history and read how it began. Come with me to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, let's begin in verse 40 through 42. Exodus 12, verse 40 through 42, and I'll begin reading it from the Amplified Bible. It says, Now the period of time the children of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of those 430 years, to that very day, all the host of the Lord left the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it was a night of watching to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out of the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed and celebrated. by all the Israelites throughout their generations. Now, even though this written account about the night to be much observed appears to have its beginning here in Exodus 12, well, brethren, actually, the story actually begins much farther back in history than this. What we're reading here is definitely one of the largest single most important days of the history of God's people. But this date has a much broader role than what has been shown here and right here in Exodus 12. First thing has to be established is what day is being spoken of here. Is it the 14th day of Nisan, the first month of the Hebrew calendar, the Passover? Or is it the 15th, the first day of unleavened bread? This must be established because the chapter very clearly switches back and forth, brethren, between these events that were to occur on the 14th and the events that to occur or begin on the 15th. The chapter very clearly begins instructing us regarding Passover. When you get up to the end of verse 14 without any break in it at all, let's read that. Exodus 12, verse 14 and 15. Exodus 12, verse 14 and 15. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to your Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Without any breaks in the text, Moses here switches from the 14th to the 15th. And if we're not very careful, we might be easily confused by that. Then Moses writes that God gave him the instructions about the feast of unleavened bread. Let's look at that. Verse 26 now. Exodus 12, verse 26 and 27. This time I'll read it from the Living Translation. It explains it just a little different. Exodus 12, verse 26 and 27. Then your children will ask, "What does this ceremony mean?" And you will reply, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, and though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families." When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground in worship. So just a few verses before that, without any breaks, brethren, he switches from the days of unleavened bread right back to Passover here. And it continues like that through the rest of this chapter. Sometimes the translators insert a break, and sometimes they do not. So the instructions for one whole day is not completed before the instructions for another day begins. This may contribute to how some people have really gotten mixed up about which day or night we are to still be keeping and how. Another point to remember, after the death angel passed at midnight, it says, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians," as in verse 30. Well, brethren, the children of Israel, they didn't need to rise up because they were wide awake and watching and keeping vigil. It was a night of watching to them. Let's look at verse 43, what it says. Exodus 12, verse 43. "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron," this is the ordinance of the Passover, "no foreigner," another outsider, "shall eat it." Verse 43 might tend to make us think that Passover night is in the context. That is in verses 40 through 42. Because the instructions in verse 43 is very clearly for Passover, brethren. But the Bible is not written like other books, is it? Sometimes we have to read here a little, there a little, to understand what it's trying to tell us. Bible commentary tells us when the book of Exodus was written by Moses, there was no sentences or paragraph breaks such as we are common with today, brethren. Proper written grammar texts with sentences and paragraph breaks were written around the 12th and the 13th century, brethren. These Bible books of the Bible was written long before that. Because these verses that precede verse 40 through 42 are clearly about the Exodus, and there is no break between them. Some people try to squeeze the events of two nights into one here. That is, the events of killing, roasting, eating, burning the remainder of the lamb. They were watching, and then leaving Egypt all in one night. Brethren, that can't be. That can't be. Let's notice the wording here in Exodus 12, verse 41. Let's look at Exodus 12, verse 41. And it came to pass in the end of the 430 years, on that very same day. Let's read verse 51 here now. Here we have a verse that is similar to what I was talking about before. Without even switching gears, God switches from talking about Passover to talking about the night to be much observed here. Exodus 12, let's read verse 51. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. So verse 41 and 51, I'm talking about the same event when they came out of Egypt. Now let's look at chapter 22 of this, verse 22 of this same chapter. Exodus 12, verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. What's he writing about here, brothers? What time is he talking about? What event is he talking about? Is he talking about Passover? Is he talking about what one does with the blood right after the lamb is killed? Let's read that. Exodus 12, verse 22. This time, let's read the whole thing. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the basin, and strike the lintel on the two doorsteps with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Right here, brethren, we see the Israelites were commanded to not go outside until morning. Now, how can one go out of Egypt by night and stay in his home at one and the same time? You can't, brethren. You can't leave and stay at the same time. You can't sit in your house until morning and walk out of Egypt at the same time. You can't do both. The events of Passover and the events of the night to be much observed, the first day of unleavened bread, occurs on two different nights, brethren. Two different nights. Let's read about this in one other place. Come with me to Numbers 28. Come with me to Numbers 28. Numbers 28, and we'll read verse 16 and 17 here. Numbers 28, verse 16 and 17. It says, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Two different days, brethren. But there's still a possibility that one might be able to think, well, Passover was at night, and the first day of unleavened bread was at night. Maybe they just took place a few hours apart. But remember again, brethren, what we just said or read. You can't do two things at the same time. Stay in your house until morning and leave by night. What did that verse say? It said that the Passover is on the 14th and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is on the 15th. Let's read Numbers again. Numbers 33. Come with me to Numbers 33, a couple of chapters over. Let's read verse 1 through 4 now. Numbers 33, 1 through 4. It says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies, under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to the starting points. Let's read verse 3 and 4 now. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgments. And there's other things explained here as well. I don't want to dwell a great deal of time on that, but Exodus 12, verse 40 through 42 is talking about the night to be much observed. It's not talking about the Passover night. And there's a reason why God did what he did. God established two memorials here, brethren. The first festival, Passover, begins in the evening part of the 14th. That is, at the beginning of it, beginning with the sacrifice of the lamb, and each family had to do their part. The sacrifice of the lamb here in Exodus has a specific meaning, and that is to remind us, brethren, each one of us, that during the death or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have a part in that death and sacrifice too. Another meaning is found in the eating of the lamb. That is to be established an important part of the ceremony or the memorial of the Passover. That is the symbolism here, brethren. And so we have the Passover concentrated on these two factors. One, the killing of the lamb. All of us have a part in that. And two, the eating of the lamb, which making sure the relationship is ongoing. And that's why we keep it every year, brethren. Now the 15th, the going out. It pictures the action required to keep the relationship going and growing. Going and growing. That's where we have to do our part, brethren. We have to get up. We have to do something. We have to leave Egypt behind and sin behind. And we have to leave sin behind and look forward to the God's kingdom. Let's look at another reason why this night to be much observed is so important and significant in God's plan. Let's look at what God did for each one of us here. And what is being done, God is entering into another covenant, this time with Abraham's descendants. You can read that, brethren, in Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. 430 years after the covenant God made with Abraham, the law came. We understand the law was already in existence. But it was given to a few Israelites as a portion of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now we begin to put the pieces together and realize how important the 15th day of Nisan is on its own. What about the very roots of this event, brethren? And that event that took place in these verses we just read. Well, we know, because of the combining of Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41, and with Genesis 17, where Abraham received the promises and realized that those events all took place on the same date, 430 years apart, brethren. So the real beginning of the Old Testament church or the church family was in Genesis 17. The land where Abraham pitched his tent 430 years earlier and was promised his inheritance. And from that small beginning with Abraham and Sarah, came Isaac and Rebekah, and then Jacob and his wives and the children, and the selling of Jacob into Egypt. Then when the famine drove Jacob down into Egypt, all with all his relatives, about 75 of them, where they grew into a sizable nation, under the control of the Egyptians. Brethren, they grew so big they were estimated about 2.5 million people there. Then came the birth and the rising up of Moses, the destruction of Egypt after the death angel slew the firstborn on the 14th of the first month. And then the climax, after being held in captive for 215 years. The children of Israel left Egypt. 430 years to that day that God entered into another covenant with Abraham. On that very day that Abraham received the sign of that covenant. Let's go back to Exodus 12 again, brethren. Exodus 12. This time we're going to define something else here. Exodus 12. I'm going to read Exodus 12, verse 40 through 42 again, this time from the Living Bible. It explains it just a little different here. Exodus 12, let's read verse 40 through 42. The sons of Jacob and their descendants have lived in Egypt 430 years. It was on the last day of the 430th year that all of Jehovah's people left the land. This night was selected by the Lord to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So that same night was selected as the date of the annual celebration of God's deliverance. That's easy to understand, isn't it, right there? Let's read it one more time, this time from the Revised English Bible. Exodus 12, verse 40 through 42. The Israelites had been settled in Egypt for 430 years. At the end of those 430 years, to the very day, all the tribes of the Lord came out of Egypt. This was the night when the Lord kept a vigil to bring them out of Egypt. It is the Lord's night, a vigil for all the Israelites, generation, generation after generation. All these translations said that we are still to be keeping this night, brethren. And this is why we do this. It's very interesting to look at all these verses from various translations. And basically, they all say the same thing. That Israel was to keep the night to be much observed in order to remember and celebrate the reason they were able to leave Egypt so easily. So after 215 years of being held as slaves, we can see why they were able to leave Egypt so easily in just one day, brethren. Because God was watching over them as his plan unfolded. A major part of that plan was for them to be slaves in Egypt, to prepare them to leave sin behind and go through the wilderness, and then be prepared to take over the promised land. That was God's plan, brethren. So God watched over it to bring it into completion. But it's not complete yet, is it, brethren? It's not completed yet. Because we, each one of us, are still living in a part of that plan now. We are still living in a sinful world that someday we will leave behind with God's help and move on to the wonderful world tomorrow. I hope you're looking forward to that. How closely was he watching them, brethren? How closely was he watching them? Let's look at this word watching and what it means. It means he was just not sitting by and observing them as they left. No, it means that he was guarding them. He was really involved in their lives. Let's go to Exodus 11, verse 7. Something else here. Exodus 11, verse 7. Exodus 11, verse 7. It says, but against none of the children of Israel, talking about when they leave Egypt, shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast. You know how excitable dogs are, brethren? They protect their territory, don't they? But God was watching them so closely that not even a dog barked as Israel left Egypt. Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine the noise that a couple million people going along the road in their wagons or whatever they had, the pans were jiggling, and the Egyptian dogs didn't even bark. Let's go back and read the rest of this verse, what it says here. Exodus 11, verse 7, it says, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Was God watching or what, brother? Is anyone going to deny God was watching them as they walked out of that night, the 15th? Let's look at one more place. Exodus 13. Exodus 13. There may be another reason why the Egyptians did not try to stop the Israelites as they left. After seeing all the miracles and the plagues that God had sent upon their lands and their people, they didn't want to stop or hurt the Israelites as they left. Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here we see a visible sign that God was with them, watching over them and protecting them. We can see from these scriptures that is the portion of the spring holy day season that is of great importance here. And not just because of his previous history, but on the basis of his historical reference to the Exodus, brethren. The whole nation of slaves, the whole nation of slaves were able to just get up and without ever having to lift a hand or a sword, took back their liberty and their freedom and walked away from their captors. Have you ever read or heard anything else like that, brother? Has anything else like it ever occurred in the history of this world? No. The night to be much observed is the official beginning of God's watchful care over his people. It is good and it's right that we celebrate what God did and does in the past and in the future for us today, brother. When Israel left Egypt, Egypt collapsed as a nation. Its economy was ruined, and most of the army died in the Red Sea. Indeed, all of this was prophesied in the Bible. Then Egypt would collapse and become one of the poorest nations around. The nation collapsed, brethren, because of the basics of their wealth, the slaves. They left, and a large part of their army, once again, was destroyed in the Red Sea. And that is what God is telling us today, brethren, that this world today, it's Satan's world. The whole thing, the physically, spiritually, financially, we're living in a type of spiritual Egypt, or Babylon, if you want to call it that. And it's being supported, and it's being upheld by human beings that are trapped in slavery to Satan. And many of them don't even realize it, not even a clue. And his system will collapse too when that slavery ends. Satan knows this, and he knows he has a short time, and he's going to fight the hardest he can with us to destroy each one of us. So we will be able to walk away from this type of world of slavery only because we know and believe that God will keep a protective watch over his people today too, just as he did for the children of Israel. That is why we continue to keep the Sabbath, the holy days, and the commandments. We are God's people. We are God's people. Someday in the near future, the church is going to walk away from this worldly system and be in the place of safety. I hope you look forward to that. And Satan's whole house of confusion and deception built on spiritual slavery will collapse. What happened in Egypt is a physical type of what happened in the past. But we know what's going to happen in the future, don't we, brethren? Only this time it will be much greater and worldwide, because the whole world is going to be involved this time. And this is what God wants us to remember, to observe it yearly, and that we can come out of this world in his sins, because he keeps a vigil over us and he will protect us. The night to be much observed is a commanding part of the very beginning of the days in unleavened bread. He gets the days off to a rousing and joyous start by focusing on God's love for each one of us and the watchful care for us too, brethren, as he removes us from our bondage and continues watching and helping us throughout our spiritual and physical journey on this earth. So when we sit down with our group on the night to be much observed next Saturday evening, let's remember what this night's about, that we are to be observing an important night in the history as Christians. We're eating, we're drinking with brothers and sisters and kings of priests of God's family.